time the angel got there, he'd have had to carry him in two pieces, his head and his torso. There was serious battle going on. Praise God. So here's what I think we can take home from all of this. This ektenos intercessory prayer. I see two different dynamics happening here. I'll kind of make this short. First of all, with this kind of prayer, number one, there's consistency. Consistency. It was persistent. The people here in this passage didn't even want to stop when the answer to their prayer came to the door and was knocking on the door. They wanted to keep praying. That's persistent prayer. I know a lot of times we're like, oh God, you know, please answer this prayer. Please help us. And what's for lunch, man? It's getting late. We got to wrap up this prayer. Somebody say in Jesus' name, man, Survivor's coming on in 20 minutes. You know? Yeah, I'm not even going down that trail. Or whatever your favorite show happens to be. These guys turned the set off. Actually, I don't think they had a TV. Nevertheless, they were constant, consistent, persistent. They prevailed in prayer and were continuing to pray. When the answer to prayer came knocking at their door, they were not going to relent. They were determined to touch God with their cries. Praise God. We used to talk about the concept of praying through back in the old revival days, you know, when people said they would pray through. That meant you just kept praying until the Holy Spirit gave you permission to stop. Until you got a witness in your spirit, you kept on praying. It was like you just, you know, you just basically bound yourself to God and said, God, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to pray until you tell me to shut up. So I hope you're comfortable, because here I go. And you just go, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray some more. And when you think you prayed all you can, you continue to pray until you get a witness in your spirit that God will let you up from that prayer. Because there is power going out from those prayers. Things are happening in the spirit, and you don't want to leave it undone. Praying through. We don't talk about that anymore in our modern world, but the old saints of God knew about that stuff. Man, there's power in praying through. Praying in the Holy Spirit till He gives you that release. So consistency, that's number one. Number two is intensity. Fervent prayer involves emotion. It's not just the head, it's also the heart. You have to have an emotional investment in your prayer and in its outcome. You got to be caught up in that thing, not some cold fish, lifeless, you know, bland, dear God. Please answer my prayer. Thank you, John. Sincerely, John. P.S. In Jesus' name. There needs to be an investment of your heart and soul and mind and strength. There has to be an investment. You need to pour your person out to God in prayer. There must be a connection there. You cannot pray fervently without involving your emotions. Can't be done. If you're going to pray fervently, you got to get emotionally heated up. If you can imagine, if your prayer was a cake baking in the oven of your heart, imagine if your prayer is a cake, for all of you who like to work in the kitchen, if your prayer was a cake baking in the oven of your heart, when the buzzer went off, would the cake be fit to eat? Or would it come out sloppy and full of raw dough and be unfit for consumption? What is the temperature of your heart as the prayer, the cake of your prayers is baking in your heart? Is it cake or is it goo? Man, I want cake, man. I want to offer cake to my Father in heaven, man. I don't want to serve Him up some floppy, you know, half-baked, nasty goo, man. I want fervent prayers. I want them things to be baked, not half-baked. Amen? What are you laughing about, man? You come up with illustrations, man. It's tough at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hopefully this will stick with you, though. The next time you go to the kitchen and open the oven, you'll think, man, is my prayer fervent, man? Do I have that thing on high? Do I have it set at 500 degrees or is down there around 75 degrees, man? I want my cake to be done. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Dennis. Scripture speaks about another person who had ektenos prayer, so much so that he sweat drops of blood as he was praying. Who am I talking about? Jesus. That is literally ektanos prayer, fervent, passionate, consistent, unrelenting prayer. In fact, it even uses the same word in Luke 22, verse 44. And being in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. That word, earnestly, he prayed more earnestly. That's that word, ektanos. He stretched himself out in prayer before God. And Scripture says that he was heard because he feared, though he were a son. That's ektanos prayer to the extreme. I mean, literally the corpuscles in his skin began to burst from the intensity that he was praying with, and came out with the blood. It saturated, permeated through his skin. And you know what? When the church prayed like that, when the church interceded fervently, constantly, Peter experienced a miraculous deliverance. Now, the story could end there, but there's icing on the cake. One other item. This is the icing on the cake. This is the cherry on top of the sundae. I love this. Acts 12:20. Now, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." I think this is a little flattery. They wanted to make sure their food didn't cut off. They wanted to make Herod happy. So he goes and gives this speech. And they're like, "Oh, he's not a man. He's a god. Oh, gosh." Please, you know. That's why I hate politics. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Herod kind of liked it, though, actually. Then, verse 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. Herod was dead, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, this is actually backed up by the ancient historian Josephus, who was alive during that time. He recorded a lot of the history of the Jews, particularly their wars and stuff like that. And he talks about this incident, and he adds that during this speech, Herod actually dressed in this bright silver apparel. So when he came out to give this speech and the sun hit the silver apparel, the silver outfit, it literally lit up like he was aglow. It was like he was glowing or something. So he literally might have looked like he was some kind of a god or something. He was given this, you know, oration, this speech. And when, I guess he was kind of stuck on himself. You know, like humble people generally don't go out dressed in silver so the sun can reflect off of them. But anyway, so he does this. And as the people began shouting, "The voice of a god, not of a man," he's like, "Yeah, dude, I'm bad. Yeah, I guess I can give a pretty good talk." And because he did not give the glory due to God, he was struck by an angel and eaten up with worms. Now, this is an actual type of disease. What happens is a cyst forms on the inside, and it fills up with these worms that multiply, and then it just becomes so big that it bursts, and it says it can release like 2 million worms into your system, and all kinds of fecal debris and all this kind of stuff that goes in. And it is horrible. Josephus said he died a slow, horrible death. He lingered for like 5 days in terrible agony, and finally he died as all these worms and debris was released into his system. Yeah, thank you. What's that, Jenny?
Ew.
Ew. Amen? Yeah. Wow. I guess not. Hey, you bury him. I ain't burying him. I'm not burying him. Let's let Dave bury him. Praise God. So it comes full circle. It comes full circle. In fact, John Stott, the famous scholar from England, says this when he comments on this chapter. He says, This chapter opens with James dead, Peter in prison, and Herod triumphing. The chapter closes with Herod dead, Peter free, and the word of God triumphing. That's the power of our God. That's what happens when God's people pray. comes full circle. Don't be dismayed by your circumstances. Stand in faith. Stand in the power of God and pray unrelentingly. Stretch yourself out in prayer and in faith and confidence that we serve an amazing, awesome God. The gates of prison did not prevail against Peter. And the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church when His people pray like He has called us to pray in the power He has given us to pray. Amen? I want to be an intercessor, man. I want to be a prayer. I want to be a historic prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. You are an amazing God. You are mighty to save, Lord. There is no lack of power with You. God, there is nothing that is impossible for You. If we would simply rise, God, to the occasion and pour ourselves out in prayer. Father, I pray now, God, that You would call us and draw us, Lord, that You would make us, Your church, a people of prayer. God, we thank You for the answers that we have seen, Lord, Larry and Aaron with their child, Lord, just this week. Dave with the tumor shrinking and his voice coming back and his strength returning to him. God, over and over and over, Your faithfulness to Your people when they cry out to You in prayer. God, we just pray You would just crank up the heat. Father, that we would be a fervent, passionate praying church. And that we would truly see You do miracles and signs and wonders when Your people pray. Do this for us, God, in Jesus' name. Seal this blessing to us, God, and draw us now in Jesus' name. Amen.